Sometimes our American proverbs are not very helpful. In fact, sometimes they seem almost to contradict one another. For instance, from a list compiled by someone else, here are a few things to consider. Birds of a feather flock together, but opposites attract. You're never too old to learn, but you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Silence is golden, but the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Clothes make the man, but you can't judge a book by its cover. The best things come in small packages, but the bigger the better. Practice makes perfect, but all work and no play makes Jack a very dull boy. If at first you don't succeed, try again, but you can't beat a dead horse. And hold fast to the words of your ancestors, but wise men make proverbs and fools repeat them. So we see that sometimes our American proverbs, proverbs of man, they're not very helpful. And yet, we have a tremendous book in our Bible, Proverbs. We've been reading it together this last week. We'll continue reading some more from it in the coming days. But I want you to turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to look at the reason why this book was written. And our lesson this morning is called Listen and Learn. And that's really kind of what the book of Proverbs is about. 300 years before Christ, in 300 B.C., there was a philosopher named Zeno, and he coined a little phrase, at least it's attributed to him, that we use even yet today, and particularly parents use this today. And I doubt that Mr. Zeno, I'm not sure how you would refer to him now, knew that what he said back 2,300 years ago would still be used today. But according to him, the reason we have two ears and only one mouth is that we may listen the more and talk the less. Proverbs is a lot about that. We need to listen the more and talk the less. And this book is about listening and learning. And so we want to look at Proverbs so that we can listen. Unfortunately, there is so much noise today. We hear so much noise today that it blocks out the really important stuff. And Proverbs will call our attention back to what's really important. Let's read together, beginning at verse 2. Proverbs 1, beginning at verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, or dark saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instructions of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your heart and chains around your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We will fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. You see, the book of Proverbs teaches us to listen and to learn. And we're going to approach this text that we have just read from a threefold direction. Point number one, wisdom's definition. Wisdom's definition. And we're going to move down to about the middle of the text to verse 7. Wisdom's definition is found in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You couple that together with Proverbs 9, verse 10. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So wisdom and knowledge are being equated with one another on a parallel plane. But we see that both of these ideas, and wisdom is what we're really thinking about, listen and learn. We're talking about wisdom. The definition of it begins with the fear of the Lord. Reverence and respect for God. Knowing that He is greater. Knowing that He is superior. Knowing that He is creator and I am created. Then I reverence Him. I respect Him. In fact, this phrase, fear of the Lord, according to those who have done the counting, is found 18 times in the book of Proverbs. And when you look at those 18 times, and I've referred you to two of them, when you look at those 18 times that phrase, the fear of the Lord, is mentioned, you begin to get a very good working definition of wisdom and what wisdom really is. And notice in the text, included in this definition, when you look at verse 8 and 9, it's implied in the most ideal of circumstances that not only is that fear of the Lord to be found in me, and not only do I learn it by reverencing and respecting God, but in the ideal circumstances, I also learn it from my mother and my father. Because verse 9 and 10 says, hear the instruction of your father, do not forsake the law of your mother, because these will be a blessing to you. I know that's not always the case. I know that can't be applied 100% of the time. But under the ideal circumstances, this fear of the Lord is passed down, in a sense, generation to generation to generation. And the psalmist is, I mean, the author of Proverbs is saying here, listen to those who know the Lord, which ideally ought to be your parents. Listen to those who know the Lord and learn. Don't reject the things that they have to say. Psalm 14, verse 1, and it's repeated over in Psalm 53. But Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 both have an identical phrase in them, many identical verses, as a matter of fact. But the phrase that we're focusing on for the moment is, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's the very opposite of what Proverbs 1, verse 7 and 9, verse 10 tell us is the definition of wisdom. In fact, Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, fools despise wisdom and despise instruction. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And from what I understand, to help us in our reading in English of the original text there of Psalm 14, the words, the English words, there is, are supplied. And really, the text is saying, the fool has said in his heart, no God. And when you think about what this text says in Proverbs 1, that fools despise wisdom and instruction, you might also apply Psalm 14, verse 1, in this way. Not only has the fool says God doesn't exist, there is no God, no God, God is not on the radar, God does not exist, but the fool has also said in regard to God's instructions, no. The fool has said to God, no. The fool has said, no way, God. Because fools despise instruction and fools despise wisdom. The Bible also tells us in James chapter 1, verse 5, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all without any kind of partiality. And generously. So you lack wisdom. Specifically in James 1, it seems to be wisdom to deal with temptations. But I think you can make the broader application of it that we often do. Ask God for wisdom, period. Ask God for this kind of understanding. Because no man, no woman can ever truly be said to be wise without God. It all starts with God. That's really kind of what Proverbs 1 verse 7 is saying. It all is the beginning. It all starts with God. We can never truly, really be wise without God. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And as we're looking at this first point, the definition of wisdom, let me bring one more New Testament passage in 1 John 2, verse 3. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise instruction, knowledge. 1 John 2, verse 3 says, by this do we know. That's knowledge, right? 1 John 2, verse 3. By this do we know that we know Him. Now look at the rest of the verse. If we keep His commandments. Doesn't that sync right in with Proverbs 1, verse 7? Doesn't that sync right in with the definition of wisdom? By this do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Fools, on the other hand, despise commandments, instruction, knowledge, and wisdom. So, they don't keep the commandments. They don't start or end with God, and He's nowhere in between either. Wisdom's definition. But now, major point number two. Let's think about wisdom's dimensions. And in verses 2 through 6, we see the many dimensions of wisdom. Again, to remind us, he starts out in verse 1 saying, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. And he says these are given why? Verse 2, to know wisdom, instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young men knowledge and discretion. A wise man shall hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel, to understand a proverb and a dark saying, an enigma, a hidden saying, the words of the wise and the riddles. Let me share this reading, Proverbs 1, verses 2 through 6, from the easy-to-read version for the deaf. Now, I have referred to this version before. Some of you use this on a regular basis. And this is a legitimate translation of the Scriptures for those who are hearing impaired. Because, you see, people who are born deaf, just a little background on this translation for a moment here. This is free. It doesn't cost anything extra. But just a little background on this translation is people who are born deaf and never hear sound and never hear words, when they are educated and taught to speak and read, people who are born that way, many, if not most of them, read written English differently than hearing people read written English. For several years in the Florence area, we had a deaf minister of the congregation where I preached. He was born deaf, never heard a sound in his life. When he was a small child, his father backed over him with their car because he didn't hear the sound of the car. He's seriously injured, but he lived, obviously. But his name's Johnny. Johnny did not see written English the same way I see written English as a hearing person. And that particularly was obvious when he wrote something himself. Because when he wrote something in English, very smart man, when he wrote something in English, you had to kind of work just a little bit to get the total meaning of it. You could get it. It was obvious there, but sometimes the word order was different and just things were different. Because people who are born without the ability to hear write and read written English a little differently than those of us who were born with the blessing of hearing. So the English version for the deaf is a remarkable tool for people like that. I just simplify it down so that they can understand it a little more on their level. But now, back to our sermon, Proverbs 1, verses 2 through 6. Listen to this from this translation. We're talking about wisdom's dimensions. They will help you learn to be wise, to accept correction, and to understand wise sayings. They will teach you to develop your mind in the right way. You will learn to do what is right and to be honest and fair. These proverbs will make even those without education smart. They will teach young people what they need to know and how to use what they have learned. Even the wise will become wiser by listening to these proverbs. They will gain understanding and learn to solve difficult problems. These sayings will help you understand proverbs, stories with hidden meanings, words of the wise, and other difficult sayings. Then verse 7, knowledge begins with the fear and respect of the Lord, but stubborn fools hate wisdom and refuse to learn. Listen and learn is our lesson today. Point number 2 that we're in is the dimensions of wisdom. Wisdom's dimensions. And as you look at verses 2 through 6, you see that when we attain, when we find this wisdom that begins with the fear of the Lord as it's defined, we suddenly are able to know the difference between right and wrong. We're able to know the difference between truth and falsehood. We're able to know the difference between good and evil. You see, the words of God that begins with the fear of God, the instruction and knowledge of God and wisdom of God will make the foolish wise. It will make the bad good. It will make those who are already wise and good wiser and better. You see, when we study the Bible, and especially this book of Proverbs, but the Bible as a whole, it will help us to know more, to know it better, and to know how to use it. Listen and learn. Know it better, know it fully, know it completely, and then know how to use it. I've shared with you before, I know, a definition of wisdom that was taught to me by a gospel preacher who has now gone on to his great heavenly reward, by a man by the name of Belton Burgess. And one time when I was still yet a young preacher, I guess, to know more, to know better, to know how to use it. Maybe I'm getting there. I don't know, but I've still got a long way to go. But I asked Brother Burgess one time, what is the definition of wisdom? He's a man who had, he had a lot of mileage, and I had a lot of respect for him, and he knew the Bible really well. And he said, wisdom is, and he thought about it for a little while and got back to me with an answer. And he said, here's the simple definition that I want to give you. Wisdom is, and I know we've given the Bible definition, but here also, wisdom is the know-how. There's nothing overly profound about that. But I think it's so very true. Wisdom is the know-how. That's what verses 2 through 6 are telling us. That you'll learn things if you listen. If you listen, you'll learn. Then you'll know more. You'll know it better. And you'll know how to use it. See, these are the dimensions of wisdom. If you look at this text in verses 2 through 6, there are 8 words that are used here to help us understand what this book is about. The 8 words are these. Number 1, wisdom. Number 2, instruction. Number 3, understanding. Number 4, prudence. Number 5, knowledge. Number 6, discretion. Number 7, learning. Number 8, counsel. When we look at those 8 words, you will see that they will occur over and over and over in the book of Proverbs. And when you begin to study those passages that have one or a combination of those eight words, then you really begin to get a good working definition and a good working application of the know-how, of wisdom, of what the dimensions of wisdom really are. And I also think in this text, we see concerning wisdom that we need to attain wisdom. We need to retain wisdom. We need to maintain wisdom. We need to sustain wisdom. And when we do that, spiritually speaking, we will remain. So, attain, retain, maintain, sustain, and remain. Wisdom's dimensions. And it's all right here in this book that you hold in your hand, or on that little electronic device that you hold in your hand. It's all right there. But now let's move on to a third and final point this morning, and that is wisdom's direction. Number one, there is wisdom's definition. Number two, we have discussed wisdom's dimensions. But now number three, wisdom's direction. And you might say this is the practical application of the text. And it's given in the text itself, beginning at verse 10. The direction that wisdom will take us. And when you begin reading verses 10 through 15 or so that we are using this morning, wisdom's direction is this. When we take the definition and we take the dimensions, and when we know what we're supposed to know, and we know how to use it, we know how to apply it, and we have the know-how. When we have listened and learned, that's the test, that's the lesson today. When we have listened and learned, the direction wisdom will take us is away from sin. Look at the text, beginning at verse 10. Wisdom's direction is to take you away from sin. Verse 10, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And then in verse 11 through 14, here's what they say. They are salesmen for their sinful behavior. They are enticing. They are trying to get you in from every avenue. Come with us, verse 11. Come with us. Let us lie in wait, shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like the grave, and whole like those who got down in the pit. Why? Verse 13. We shall find all kinds of possessions. In other words, he said, come with us. Let us go kill some people so we can rob and steal and take what belongs to them. And then verse 13. We will have their precious possessions. We will fill our houses with their spoil. Verse 14. Cast your lot in among us. Let us all have one purse. We're going to share and share alike. We're all going to divide this up together. And the sinners entice. The sinners draw. The sinners drag. The sinners sell their product so fervently and sadly so effectively. But not the man who's listened and learned. The man who has listened and learned hears the sinners. And he hears what they say. And he does not consent. And verse 15, he does not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. You see, it basically kind of boils down to this when we're trying to make a practical application regarding wisdom's direction. Because if we listen to the right things, we won't do the wrong things. Now, can I get it any simpler than that? Can the Bible get it any simpler than that? If you listen to the right things, you won't do the wrong things. If you listen to the right people, you won't listen to the wrong people. And you won't find yourself with the wrong people, in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. I mean, how clear is that? How much more practical could it possibly be? Listen to the right people, do the right things. You listen to the wrong people, you're going to end up doing the wrong things. So listen and learn. Listen to the right people. That's why the book of Proverbs is so valuable. Because let me tell you something, we live in a foolish world. Romans chapter 1 talks about how foolish the world was 2,000 years ago, and it hasn't really changed. In fact, Romans 1 verse 21 says their foolish hearts were darkened, that they did not acknowledge God as Creator. That's the fool described in verse 7 here, who despises wisdom and instruction. We live in a foolish world. And God's people, as God's people, we are called to be wise. Ephesians 5:15 tells us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them... Well, wait a minute. Isn't that instruction? Isn't that knowledge? Isn't that learning? Man, all this stuff just works together. Jesus said, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto, what is it? A wise man who built his house on the rock. See, that's wisdom's direction. Listen and learn. Listen to the Lord. Listen to His Word. And learn. And as the text tells us, our relationship with the Lord begins by listening to Him. So the question that I must ask myself, and you must ask yourself, am I listening? Am I listening to the Lord? Am I listening to His Word? And not only am I listening and learning. You know, some of us get the job half done. We listen, but maybe we don't learn. Am I listening and learning? You know, somebody might sometimes say, you know, every time I leave church, or every time I read the Bible, or every time I hear a sermon, or every time I learn something about the gospel, you know, I just feel bad about it. Well, you know, if you feel bad every time you come to church, if you feel bad every time you leave church, if you feel bad every time you read the Bible, repent. Listen and learn. Listen and learn. Some people listen and they get angry. Some people listen and they argue. Some people listen and they turn away. Some people listen, and Proverbs 1:7 says they despise wisdom and instruction. But the message that we are talking about, and the message that the text is talking about, and the message that God wants us to hear is listen and learn. Don't just get the job half done. Get it all done. Listen and learn. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the words of Jesus. Except you believe that I am He, you shall perish in your sins, except you believe that I am He. Listen to the words of Jesus. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Listen to the words of Jesus. Whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. Listen to the words of Jesus. Whosoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Listen and learn. If you've learned something today that potentially can change your life, if you've heard something from the Word of God today that you realize that you need to act on to change your life and your relationship with Him, listen and learn. Don't be the fool. Don't reject and despise. Listen and learn. Would you come this morning as we stand?